In this way, after establishing and demonstrating his facts, he presents his accusation more openly. He also uses his own name, removing all harshness and preventing them from being upset by what is said. After all, if Paul is insignificant and doesn't complain, they should even less feel as if they have been treated unfairly. He has two ways of comforting them, first by mentioning himself, and then by not taking all the credit, like saying they didn't contribute at all. Instead, he gives them a small share. Even though it's small, he still acknowledges it. Because after saying, "Who is Paul and who is Apollos?" he adds, "But servants through whom you believed." This in itself is a major accomplishment and worthy of high recognition, although compared to the original and root of all good, it's nothing. Because it's not the one who serves our blessings, but the one who offers and provides them, who is our benefactor. He didn't say evangelists, but servants, which means more. For they had not only preached the gospel, but also served us. The first is a matter of words only, while the other also involves action. And so, if even Christ is only a servant of good things, and not the root and source himself, look at where this matter ends up. So you might ask, why does he say that he was a servant of the circumcision? He's referring there to his secret plan in the flesh, not in the same sense we've been discussing. For there, by servant, he means fulfiller, and not one who dispenses blessings from his own resources.